Mary had a little lamb,
The fall.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Okay, so the trial of Derek Chauvin continues. Today is day 9. As you know, yesterday they had like the 47,898 use of force expert on the stand, and we just chose to skip it because it was really exhausting to listen to the same testimony from all these witnesses who all testify that nothing that Derek Chauvin did, pretty much after he handcuffed George Floyd is policy and or something they recognized in their use of force training, or, you know, that it wasn't something he riffed. Okay, so today we're now starting to get the medical experts on the stand who are testifying to cause of death. Now, you understand, poor Eric, okay? Eric Nelson, the, you know, defense attorney, has, like, nothing to work with, okay? Because he said Derek Chauvin was doing what he was taught to do. And that just blew up with all those witnesses that are experts in use of force techniques, use of force training, use of force policy, use of force, the maximal, use of force technique that requires the sergeant be called. Right. Okay. So now we're shifting. They're taking the view from use of force to cause of death. That's all Eric has. Eric needs for Derek Chauvin to have died from a heart attack and or a drug overdose. He doesn't care which. Combination of the two would suit him fine. One or the other is okay too. It ain't going his way today. There is a pulmonologist on the stand. His name is Dr. Martin Tobin. He is affable. He is clear. He is concise. He is sure. He is qualified as an expert in pulmonary, lung issues, everything from lung disease to fentanyl and its effects on the lungs to smoking and its effects on the lungs, just all of that. All right. So we had his direct examination by the state, the prosecution, this morning, and it was mesmerizing, I must say. Right now, poor Eric is up to bat, and poor Eric is trying to punch holes in Dr. Tobin's assessment, in the way that he reached his conclusions, in his education, in his, experience, and all that. And I just want you to watch. I just want you to listen. And as you do, I want you to remember this little factoid. Dr. Martin Tobin is not a paid expert. He did not want to be paid for his expertise. He said, and he testified, that he had watched these videos over and over and over and over and over again. And he knew what went on here. He was able, and he walked the jury through those videos and how they could know what was going on by counting the breaths of George Floyd, by watching the hand movements of George Floyd, by watching whether or not George Floyd was stressing to get on, to crank his right side up as his left side was being stepped on. It was really fascinating, I have to say. So now poor Eric is left to deal with, punching holes in this man's expertise.
Prior to that point, to all people who were there and monitoring him, he would have appeared to have been breathing, right?
It's just hard for me to hear.
Sorry. Prior to that point,
yeah,
it would be reasonable that he would appear to be breathing, right?
Yes.
And in fact, you showed us a segment where you were able to count his respiratory rates.
Yes.
Right? And then you said that at
25
and 06,
16
seconds.
Okay, so now we know he's a bad lawyer.
Air was pumped back into him.
Correct.
All right. Uh-oh. And you understand that paramedics arrived at 20:27 and 45 seconds?
Yes.
And so the time between when the paramedics arrived and Mr. Floyd got his first air was roughly 8 minutes, almost 9 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
And according to timelines, the drive to the hospital is about 5 minutes.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the line.
Were you aware that the drive to the hospital is about 5 minutes?
I wasn't aware, but I have no reason to dispute it.
And so between 20, 27, and 45 seconds when the EMTs first arrived and the time they got him to have an air in his lungs, that was a crucial 9 minutes.
Yes.
Your Honor, I have nothing further.
You have nothing? Eric has nothing. Eric has nothing. Okay, redirect maybe, rehabilitate any damage. I didn't see him lay a finger on him, and I was watching it before we went live. So I'm not sure there's a need for redirect, but it seems like there will be.
Dr. Tobin,
okay.
Just a few questions, just for clarification's sake. You would just ask a lot of questions about science and medicine changing, constantly changing, evolving by the nanosecond, by the millisecond. You heard all of that.
Yes, I did.
I want to go to the period of time when Mr. Chauvin was on the back and neck of Mr. Floyd.
Yes.
Did you see him get off of the back of Mr. Floyd by the nanosecond, by the millisecond, by any seconds in the 9 minutes and 29 seconds that you saw him on?
No, I did not.
If you look at the 5 minutes and 3 seconds that you focused on, where, if you consider all the nanoseconds and milliseconds in the 5 minutes and 3 seconds, where was Mr. Chauvin the vast majority of that time?
He was on Mr. Floyd's neck and on his back and arm.
Right, not constantly changing.
No.
Now, you asked questions about what injuries were noted on autopsy.
Yes.
And I think a reference was made, there was no injury noted to the hypopharynx on autopsy.
Correct.
Does that make any difference to you whatsoever?
None whatsoever. I wouldn't expect there to be anything found there
at
autopsy.
Why not, Dr. Tobin?
Because the effects on the hypopharynx are not something that is going to remain at the time of an autopsy. I mean, the type of changes that we see, say, in somebody with sleep apnea, that's not something you're going to see the following morning when you look at somebody. It's just not there.
Well, there was also a reference made to the absence of bruising on the neck during autopsy.
Yes.
Does that make any difference to you whatsoever?
No, because obviously whenever I go to church, I sit on a hard bench. I don't get bruising of my buttocks when I leave. So I wouldn't expect anything in terms of that. So if you have somebody, this was a static force. It's not as if somebody is jamming against it. So you wouldn't expect anything in the way of bruising.
And scientifically, do you know of any correlation between the presence or absence of bruising on autopsy and the forces necessary to restrict breathing?
No, they're totally different because it's in terms of static forces and dynamic.
What about low oxygen? If somebody suffers or dies from low oxygen,
yes,
does that show up on autopsy?
No, it does not.
And the fact that it doesn't, does that mean anything to you whatsoever?
It has no meaning.
And why not?
Because low oxygen is a functional thing, just like an arrhythmia is a functional thing. It doesn't leave a fingerprint on the autopsy. It's just there. It's something that happened. But it won't leave any fingerprint afterwards. You don't see it.
This guy is amazing. I mean, he is so clear that I can understand him, okay? I mean, you can understand him, I think, right? He literally wrote the book on pulmonary issues, and he didn't want any money to do this. This speaks volumes about his credibility and reliability, and he's explaining that a static force, you know, something that's constant, like you could press on your neck right now, right? You could press on your neck right now. Don't do it because you might get empathy for, you know, George Floyd if you're white. Don't do it if you're white. No, but if you pressed on your neck, right? And then you let go, no bruising. There won't be any bruise. I'll tell you why that's important.